All right, what are we going to do? Well, the year is 2030. I don't know if you knew that, but the year is now 2030. Now, we're skipping forward. I want you to imagine with me. The year is 2030 and Jesus hasn't returned. It doesn't necessarily, some might say that he might return imminently because it feels like the world is ending, but it probably isn't. There's every chance that we will see 2030 before Jesus returns. So we're sitting there and this church is thriving again. Like every dream that you could have for this church, there's kids everywhere. We're seeing life change happen. We're an essential part of the local Austin Cove community. The community knows us and sees us as being a positive contributor to the area. People are coming along to our services and coming along to the other things we're doing, and their lives are changed. We're being equipped to follow Jesus in our workplaces. We're being equipped to live out our faith in our families. Marriages are being restored. Families are being brought back together. All of those things are taking place. What's happened? How did we get there? What were some of the things that happened between now and then to actually have that be the outcome? We've been working through our series looking at Rebuild. It's again coming through COVID. It's kind of thrown us. We started this process right at the start of COVID, where we as a church revisioned and rethought, who are we as a church and what does it mean for us to be a part of this broader region? We've come to the point now where we're using that word rebuild. It's like football clubs don't like to use it. Perhaps the Eagles should, but I know they don't want to at the moment. We might find out later today if that comes sooner than not. It seems to be a word people are scared of. But actually embracing the idea of a rebuild is the first step to becoming the church that we know God actually wants us to be. We can't pretend something that is true that isn't true. And we know as a church that we are in a season of rebuilding. Last year, we prayed for 3 to 5 families and we had 3 families join us. That's not enough. We need to continue to become the church that God's calling us to be. But rather than spending another week of just talking about it, I actually want us to take some time today in smaller groups to do this. So before I move on, if you're not in a group of about 6 people, you need to get into a group of about 6 people. So there's a couple of smaller groups over here, so you guys might like to huddle together somewhere. You can move chairs, just make sure you keep them socially distanced. You guys might like to push down a little bit because I can move these chairs, so that there's a bit more space between you and those who are behind you. And the big row of people sitting out there, when we discuss, you might like just to find a way to huddle together. So all those who are on media, on sound and those sort of things, you actually, that probably makes a nice group there. So when we have our discussion times, feel free to come out and find a seat or do something for there. And we've probably got a nice little group there at the back. Because there's going to be more time of you talking than of me talking. I know, it's a change, isn't it? So just get yourselves ready. And Dale, I can come and move you. Yeah, no, I've got you.
James has got you.
Come this way. Excellent. So on your chairs, you should have found a copy of the Covenant and a copy of the Austin Cove Community, the Austin Cove Way. Okay? So you will need to refer to those throughout. Just briefly on the Covenant, this is not just a piece of paper that's made to look nice. This is something that we actually started 2 years ago. Then COVID hit and it kind of threw everything away. But this is not something we've forgotten. This is not something that we don't want to do. This is something that is a part of our practice every year, and it will be as important as what you make it in your life. And so the important thing is for you to work out what's actually going to work for you in that context. Are we all good there? I'll just give Jan a moment to get seated.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm just trying to keep away from everyone.
You're fine. Oh, good. So on this covenant, there are 3 spots. We try and keep it simple because I know asking to do a million things is not realistic. If you can just do 3 things over the next year and bring them to be a part of your rhythm, then the next year you can add 3. It makes it a much more manageable way of doing things. Don't worry about what the titles are, because we're going to go through those as we go in case you're not familiar with them yet. This covenant, you've got this week to sort of think this through. So today we're going to do a little bit of work towards it. There are pens up the front if you haven't got one and you actually want to sort of jot down some thoughts or do some things. Next Sunday, as part of the service, we're going to create some space where you're invited to bring your covenant forward as an act of offering to God. One of the ways we worship God is we actually worship Him through singing. We worship God through our giving. Giving is actually an act of offering. But actually committing our hearts to growing in faith is an act of offering to God. It's an act of worship to God. So part of next week's service, I'm not going to like make you come and do it. It's meant to be a moment of actually going, all right, this is just between me and God, where you're actually going to be able to bring them forward and lay them at the front. They'll get collected. Only I see them. They don't go to anyone else. I piece it all together. I remind you from time to time. So over the next few months, you might get an email or a text or something. I make sure you get a copy of it so you know what you committed to, so you don't forget what it was. And the premise behind this is just that you have three things between now and next year that you are aspiring to grow in your faith. Because as a church, one thing we want to do is actually take becoming more like Christ seriously. We don't just want to consume church. We don't just want to consume, go through the motions, go to church, do the thing, go home again. Jesus called us to make disciples. That means people who follow Him every day in every way. And so this is one of the ways that we actually look to take that seriously. But it's up to you to actually engage with it at the level that it is important to you. There's no right or wrong way. There's no right or wrong answers. And over the years, you'll pick up on what works for you and what helps with that. So to kick it off with, I'm just going to read through a verse around that sort of touches on engage, talk to it for a moment, go through one thing, and then I'm going to kick it out to you guys to discuss. So 1 Peter 2, verse 11 to 12 says this: Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. There are two key things that we take away from this verse that as followers of Jesus we have to be reminded of. We are actually foreigners and exiles in the culture that we live in. The culture we live in is not a Christian culture. It might have some Christian heritage. There might be aspects of it that are. That we ourselves, though, do not live in our own culture. We are foreigners and exiles in so many ways. And there are so many things that are pulling at us and drawing us to be different, to follow the way of the world and not necessarily the way of Christ. But the answer to that is to not withdraw from the world and go off into a little cloister and sort of huddle together in a holy huddle and just stay with Christians. Peter was very clear when he wrote his letter. He said, live such good lives among the pagans. Live such good lives among the community. Live such good lives among the people. Followers of Jesus are called to engage the community around them. That is a part of what it means to follow Jesus, is to be shoulder to shoulder with our neighbours, with our sports clubs, with our community, with those who are in the area. The process, the system, the framework, if you will, that we use as a bit of a backdrop to this, again, pick something simple, stick with it, and work towards it for a long time, and you actually start to see some fruit. So the system that we loosely follow here is called BLESS. We want to bless our community. We begin with prayer. We listen without judgment. We eat together often. That's the best one. We serve our community. And we learn to share our story. Now, that might be our story of life. That might be our story of how we came to follow Jesus. If you want to know more about that series, come back after Easter, because we're doing a 6-week or 5-week series, doing a deep dive into this following Easter. So that's coming soon. that's just meant to be a backdrop to it. You'll get to know more about what it is as we go through. So what I want you to do in your groups, we're going to turn on the lights in a moment so you have some light, is two questions. Where are you living in the rhythm of bless? Where is this real to you? Where is this happening? What needs to change for you this year if you were to take one step towards a blessed lifestyle? So if you look at that and go, I'm not doing any of those, don't go, that's it. Next week, all of those are happening. But what's one step? What's one practice? What's maybe one letter that you could use on your covenant this year? You may just say for this year, I am going to pray every day or every week or every month for a list of people that I can put together. And again, you'll get some tools for this across the year. You might go, this year, I'm going to try and eat with 10 people. Okay? So can we have the lights on, please, Alex? In your groups, talk about where are you actually already doing this? You may find this is already something you do. Where do you need to work on this moving forward? Go. The reality is that following Jesus was always meant to be a lifestyle. It's not meant to be something where you come along and just hear lots of words and then go off and go through your week. The whole premise of Jesus calling people to be disciples was literally, come follow me 24/7. See how I live 24/7. And then go and live 24/7 the way that I lived. And one of the challenges I think that faith's had in the last 50 years is some ways we've boiled it down to programs that we attend. And we've forgotten that it's actually in the day-to-day lifestyle and the intentionality of living these things out outside the walls of the service that we go to. That's actually where faith hits the road. That's where it actually gets tangible. And so finding... If you're busy, hands up if you're busy. Everyone's hand goes up. Exactly right. Everyone is busy. If you don't do this intentionally, it will not happen. If you don't create space for this, it will not happen. But that's why we're trying to break it down to simple. Pick one. One in the engage area. Maybe one letter or one practice or one activity or one commitment. Once a month, I'm going to try and eat with someone. Once a month, I'm going to get involved in some kind of community service. You may not see overnight hundreds of people come to faith. But if this becomes a rhythm and a pattern that you build on over the years, you will come to see that God will honor that and he will use that and help you in your life and faith in this area. The next one. I think we must have clicked off at some point because we haven't had this. No, this one's me. I turned it off this time because I didn't want clicking around in my pocket. We have worked out our problem though, so we don't actually need to have it on a general basis. Encounter. So the second part of our church's discipleship pathway. It's not the only way, it's just we try to keep it simple. We need to engage people who are far from God, but we don't want to leave them there. That's not the end of the story. We want to love people enough that step by step, we will journey towards Jesus. But as we will have all experienced, I'm sure, you cannot make someone follow Jesus. Gee, it would be great if you could, because I'm sure every one of us could name someone who our heart breaks because we know they don't know Jesus. And we just wish we could bat them over the head with a stick and say, just follow Jesus, come on! But we can't. But we can have intentional relationships and intentional environments. They're the two things we can control. We can have intentional relationships. We can choose to relate with certain people and engage and find ways to do that. And we can create spaces like our Sunday gathering, like Alpha, like the other things that we do, where the impact is greater. So Matthew 4, 18 to 20 says this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. As followers of Jesus, we're actually tasked with playing a role in helping people encounter him. That actually, when you said yes to following Jesus, that wasn't the end of the story. In fact, it was only the very beginning, because what you said yes to was, I'm going to spend the rest of my life helping other people have the best opportunity that I can. And again, we can't make it happen, but I'm going to do the best that I can to help them encounter Christ. Now, that also means that you need to be encountering Christ. So for today, and for the purposes of our covenant for this stage, because there's kind of two angles to this, I want you to be thinking about, how are you ensuring that you are encountering God? It's not a one and done. Actually, faith is about ongoing encounters with God and letting those change you and shape you and challenge you and mold you. So transformation relationships, transformational environments, three key parts that we see that we can control. Again, what we're trying to talk about here is, what can we control? We can't do anything about all the other things and all the moving parts that go on, but we can make sure that we're putting into our life the things that have historically, over the years, helped people encounter God. So three of those key ones are to be regularly in the Bible. That might be reading the Bible. That might be listening to the Bible. That might be listening to podcasts that unpack and discuss the Bible. There's different ways that can look like. But the people of God, from the so even before the Bible itself was written, it was actually engaging around the teachings of Jesus and the oral traditions that were sort of taking place. And then once the Bible was written, the church has always been a people of the Bible. So what habits and patterns do you need to have in your life to make sure that you are intentionally engaging in this space in your life? Community gathering, that's a fancy word for church, but it's so much more than just coming together for a service. It's recognizing that we miss you when you're not part of this, because it is actually the community of the church gathering together. When it's about just coming along and going to the service and doing your bits and going home, we lose some of the richness of the whole purpose and premise of why do we even do this on a Sunday. And that throughout the history of the church has gathered in some kind of large communal format on the first day of the week for mutual edification, for worshiping God, and for being taught about God in that space. So actually being committed to this space and doing as much as you can. We have work, so there are times when you can't come. You'll lose your job if you actually turn up to church. Go tell your boss. No. Anyway, so that's one of those things. But around that, how do you make this a priority in your life? And how do you make inviting others to come and engage in this space when it's the right time in their journey a part of what you do? And then the last one is life groups. Again, in some format, this is the current iteration word is life groups, but in some format, the church has always done this. It's always encouraged people to gather in smaller groups where you can actually do life on life. And I will go as far to say that you will not grow in your life and faith as much as you could if you are not in a life group. Doesn't have to be one of ours, because we obviously don't have an unending amount of them. But you absolutely, I'm convinced, the enemy tries to keep us out of these because he knows that if you actually are regularly in a place where you're digging in and asking questions and having others sort of ask questions back because they know what's going on for you, if you're not in that kind of context, you won't grow like you would otherwise. So it's a really important part of what we do. So in the encounter space, and as you think about what your covenant might be, what might be one area you'd like to grow in. It might be, I'm going to read my Bible once a month or once a week or once a fortnight or once a day or whatever that is. It might be around community gathering. It might be around, I'm going to join a life group. It might be, I'm going to invite some people to come and join with me because I can't make it to another group. So I'm going to get a group going in my home. You can do that. Find some other Christians that you know in other contexts and say, hey, I know you're free on a Tuesday at lunchtime. How about we lunch together? Let's do that once a month. All right, find a way to be involved in this space. So here are some questions for you to discuss in your groups. What relationships do you need to invest in this year for your own spiritual growth? That might be meeting with some people who aren't followers of Jesus because you're at the stage where you actually want to press into that. Or it might be that you need to find a coach or a mentor. It might be that you need to join a group. So what are the relationships that you need to invest in? And how might environments play a role in your own spiritual growth this year? Maybe share some stories of where have you actually seen your faith grown in the past? What was it at church? Was it in someone's home? Was it, what sort of environments have you found have helped you grow in the past? What might you be looking towards this year that would help you with that? You got about 10 minutes. Go. Ephesians 4:1 and 11-16 says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This right here is the whole premise of why church exists. Not why faith, not why following Jesus, but church exists to mature its people, to help them to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. To actually be called to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To be given the calling to follow God himself and to become like him is actually a really high calling that I think sometimes we can lose sight of just how significant that calling actually is. And so part of the premise of why we do church is that we actually want to help you smooth off those rough edges, and some of us like me have slightly rougher edges than others. But to actually learn over time, to let down those barriers and to actually do the hard work of the inward change that is needed to actually see fruitfulness in some of those areas that you've been stuck in for all those years. And it's not a guarantee to happen overnight. In fact, it's the rest of your life that you will spend doing this. But this is why the church exists. The church exists to mature you. To take people who are far from God and have no interest in God and lead them to a place where they discover Jesus and say, you know what, I want to give the rest of my life to following and learning what that means, and then spending the rest of their life learning to follow Jesus in every day, in every way. So that's what we're aiming to do. Our goal is to equip you and anyone who calls this church home to follow Jesus every day. In every way, every circumstance you come across in your week should be impacted by this church. Every time you interact with friends, with work, with people on your street, as you're driving your car, as you're choosing what movies and TV and all those things to watch, all of that in some way, I'm not saying how, but in some way should be impacted by the way that we are helping you to be formed into the person of Christ. Now, in what ways, and this is what you're going to discuss in a moment, but I'm going to go through and give you some ideas first. So, in what ways would you like to be further equipped in 2022 and beyond? Here's some different examples that you might like to consider if others don't come to you. You might already have some from what you've talked about. I recommend coaching and mentoring. It actually is a really helpful tool, coaching and mentoring, to be able to sit with someone one-on-one. Sometimes you can do group coaching, that also works. But what we aim to do with coaching and mentoring, we don't do a lot of it at the moment because it's different to just sitting and listening. Coaching and mentoring is an invitation to come and share about what are you aiming to do? Where are you aiming to get to? Maybe what are some of those places that you're stuck in your life? And to intentionally put in place maybe a 6-month or 12-month practice or program where you're going to meet up with a person on a regular basis and actually look to break through some of those areas that you might be talking about. Now, this is obviously something I'm very happy to offer, and coaching and mentoring is something I particularly enjoy. But we have others in the church who I know are capable of doing this, and for a small number of people, I'm sure could pick that up, and some of them already are in different contexts. So if you would like to know more at this, I can't promise we can get someone, but this is an area that if you'd like to know more, that might be something that you put on your covenant. And if you list that as your area that you want to grow this year, I will see that when the covenants are submitted and I'll be able to get in touch with you. We also offer a number of programs across the year aiming at equipping you. I've dropped the ball with these since COVID hit, because since COVID hit, everything became about just keeping on going. And what things have changed this week? What restrictions are different? Do we have to wear masks? Do we not have to wear masks? Are we able to gather? Do I really want to put all that work into putting on an event and then cancelling it at the last moment? So most of these things, being honest, have been put on the back burner over these last couple of years because of that. But coming out the other side, and we are slowly, and there will be light at the end of the tunnel, we'll be looking to start offering these on a regular basis again. So simple things like reading the Bible for all it's worth, how to share your faith and testimony, exploring spiritual disciplines. So if any of those areas interest you, maybe write those down on your covenant as this year I'm going to look to get involved in one of these areas. If you don't know what they are, come and see me afterwards and I can go through them with you again. Another one that we started right at the start of COVID, so again, it's been a little bit impacted across that time, is we had a leadership development program. We've got a couple of them here today. And that actually, technically, the first intake would actually finish in the middle of this year. So I will be looking to get this going again. There's been lots of learnings from the first time through. Some of that is obviously impacted by the realities of what's gone on. Some of it is also learnings from what that's looked like across those last 2 years. So if you'd like to go deeper in your leadership, if that's an area you go, have I been following Jesus for a while, or maybe even in your workplace, you're like, I think I'd like to get involved in leadership. This is not just church leadership. This is leadership in general. I think it is a gifting that we can have as followers of Jesus, because if you can be a Jesus representative in the leadership of your workplace, that will have an impact on the culture of your workplace. Don't have to be overtly, you know, let's pray at the start of a work board meeting. That may not go so well. But there are ways that you can learn Christian principles of leadership that could greatly enhance your workplace that this would actually bring out. So if you'd like to know more about leadership development, maybe that's what you put down in your equip space. I'll see it. I'll get in touch. Or maybe you need some resources for parenting, or maybe you need some resources for your marriage, or maybe you need some resources for community connection or life rhythms, or there might be other things in that area. So as you're thinking about this, I'd love you to talk in your groups. What areas can you perceive right now that you would like to grow in? So put yourself in 1 year's time. It's March 20th, 2023. How are you different because of the choices that you made today? How have you changed? How have you grown in your faith? What steps have you seen happen? And what might be one thing that you could say right now, this is what I'm going to want to grow in this next year? What might some of those areas be? Discuss in your groups. Got about 5 minutes for this one. Go. So I'm going to draw your attention back into me for a moment. Now, I'm going to call it the answer that was given right at the very start that everyone heard. I have no idea. Welcome to following Jesus. I'm still relatively young, but there are still so many times that I still go, I don't actually know. Like, what is next? And so I'll actually want to take a very short moment to be a little vulnerable and share an area that has been a real struggle for me, that I know in the next year, I know what the outcome needs to be. I still don't quite know what it means to get there. And that's ever since Toby was born. Strangely enough, having children change your life, I found it really hard to have any kind of regular rhythm for reading my Bible. I was always a morning Bible reader. It's just what I did. And now Toby gets up at the crack of dawn, which is getting later now, so we're getting a bit more sleep, which is great. So at first I thought maybe I'll just get up a bit extra early. No, that didn't work. Or maybe I'll try and do it after breakfast. That didn't work. So for me, I'm going to have to change when I do it, but I'm yet to find another time that works for that. I know the outcome in a year's time, but I'll be putting on my equip space. My covenant is that in a year's time, I have a regular rhythm of reading my Bible. Now, I'd like to be more specific and say, I'm going to read my Bible every day at 2 p.m., but actually at the moment, that's not realistic for me. The whole point of the covenant is to not pigeonhole you into something so you can beat yourself with a stick when you don't do it. But it's to have don't start the year without intentionality. You'll have enough things this year that come up that actually stop you with your intentionality as it is. The premise of a covenant each year, and it's a rhythm that we will do every year, is to give you one time at the start of each year to actually actively reflect on the year that has been and to go, this is where an area I want to see changing over the next year. You may not be able to say the specifics of exactly what it looks like, but put down what you'd like to see. Where would you like to be in a year, even if you don't think you'll actually get there? If you don't even consider it or put it down as a possibility, then it almost certainly won't happen. That's the idea behind this. I'm hoping, God willing, to be at this church for a long time. That's what I believe is my calling. That's what I believe God has given to me. So I'm playing the long game. I'm not in a rush. I don't feel the need to turn things over next week. I'm hoping to have 10, 15, 20, who knows how many years to work slowly. And the great benefit that that brings is if you take the same approach for you, don't think you've got to turn everything over this week. You might take another 10 years to move significantly in an area. All I want you to commit to today, and part of the premise of this idea, is just what is your next step? Your next step might be a giant one, and you might be like, I actually really need to take a jump now because God's got an opportunity before me, and it's a little bit of a... Or for you, your next thought might be, okay. But for you, just take your next step. So when you're looking at your covenant for next week and you bring it along next week, I will try and create some space in the service for you to do it if you forget. But think about it across the week. Percolate on it, give an idea. Be as simple or as broad or as specific as you want to be, because the covenant is meant to serve you. It's not about me or the church. It's what's going to help you, as you get little reminders from time to time, go, yeah, you know, that is actually something. And it might change across the year. That's okay. But only let it be that it changes because God's very clear to you that it needs to change, not because you just gave up because, oh, that was too hard. What do you think needs to be put in place right now as you think across this year? How am I going to take a step in the engage area? How am I going to take a step in the encounter area? How am I going to take a step in the equip area? Because in 2030, when we're sitting here as a church and we've hopefully got a thriving learning center going, and maybe even by then we might have our community center next door. Maybe that's where we're meeting and we're doing stuff. And as we're seeing change take place in the community around us, as families are coming in and being changed and shaped, as marriages are being restored, as relationships are being renewed, that's going to happen because each of us has not worried about the 30 steps that we have to take. We've just taken the next step. The next step. The next step. And if we consistently as a church just take the next step, we'll be okay. And then every now and then we'll get knocked back a little bit. Take the next step. I just want to pray for us as we come towards the close. Father, I want to pray for our church as we look to rebuild. It can feel a little bit over the top. It can feel a bit too difficult, too challenging, Lord. It's too high a mountain to climb. I just pray that you would instill in us the simple ethos of taking the next step, individually and collectively as a church. Help keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Give us the courage to not settle for where we find ourselves. And give us the strength to press through all of those voices that are telling us that we can't do it. Lord, help each of us to carry one another's burdens. And may we learn again and afresh what it means to do life together in such a way that we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name.